And tonight, this has all the makings of a classic coast-to-coast show. We are going to be talking about Urdaquoi Supernatural, talking animals, medicine people, and so much more with Michael Bastien. Michael's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you a little bit about our special guest tonight, Michael Bastien, an Algonquin healer, elder, former student of famous medicine man Wallace Mad Bear Anderson, and healer Ted Williams, not the old baseball player. Michael was raised outside of Buffalo, New York, attended a very small rural public school, and he spent most of his boyhood observing and relating to the natural world. During his youth, which he thinks was somewhat rebellious, he met Tuscarora medicine man Wallace Mad Bear Anderson, and a great blend of worlds began. Mad Bear reinforced the teachings that Michael remembered from nature and brought him to the roots that he never knew that he had. And here he is on Coast to Coast. Hello, Michael. How are you? Hello, Michael. Well, I don't hear Michael. So we'll have to get him back somehow. He has disappeared on us. So we will try again for Michael. Anyways, what we're going to be talking with Michael about as soon as we get him back on the program. Again, he's an Algonquin healer, elder, and former student, and his latest work is called Iroquois Supernatural, Talking Animals and Medicine People, and hopefully he will be back. If he doesn't, folks, you know what? We're going to go to open lines here on Coast to Coast for you, so get ready for that. As a matter of fact, I'll try to get you those phone numbers right now just to give you a little head start. You never know here. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. And we do Skype if you have that computer. We Skype indeed, and that is George 97313. So those phone lines are open for you. I'm not sure if we're going to get Michael back or not tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And in terms of other events into the world, we'll have open lines for you on Friday, of course. And I'm told that Michael is somehow back again. Let's go. Michael, you there?
I'm there.
Yeah, you disappeared on me. Where'd you go?
I don't know. For some reason, the other phone cut out.
Okay, and this phone is unacceptable, Tom. So you take care of that. You call him back and see if you can get it fixed. If you can't, we're going to just go to open lines. I'm going to go to some open line calls right now on Coast to Coast AM. We'll pick it up by going to East of the Rockies. Lee, where are you calling from? Welcome to the show.
Louisiana.
Hey, what's on your mind, Lee?
Well, you had the guy on earlier that was talking about the oil and coal and all that stuff. I work in the oil industry. I work offshore. And my question is, we have all this natural gas, and they have this thing called the Fischer-Tropsch process. It takes natural gas and it turns it into liquid feedstock via naphtha, gasoline, kerosene, those kind of things. And they're actually doing it in Yemen. Shell has a facility that does somewhere around 800,000 barrels a week. And I'm wondering why the United States hasn't come on to that and allowed them to build those facilities here.
Well, that's interesting. And also, you know, as you know, next week we're going to talk about peak oil and my thoughts on abiotic oil.
Right.
Because, you know, this planet has an abundance of it, always did. Let's go next to Fort Angeles, Washington. Tom's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, George, thanks for picking me up again.
Sure thing.
See, what's wrong? I got on the computer, and I shared some tape with the guy here locally. And, you know, we're looking at the face on Mars. You call that the Cydonia area, I guess, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. And he went over in detail in the Toto. He showed me these tapes, right? And this is how it's explained, right, that this face is contours on the surface. And as the sun, as the Earth, as Mars rotates away from the sun, right, the angle of the light changes, and that's how these shapes get put into place, right? Why isn't that an acceptable answer to so many people?
Well, you mean for those people who truly believe it's a face?
Yeah, people who believe that there's topography there that is actually sculpted to be a face, and as opposed to people who say, okay, the trick of light and shadow as the planet rotates away from the sun. And then I got to thinking about it. You know, I bet you if we look down on the desert as the evening sun sets just about anywhere in the world, we could probably find similar things that happen.
There was a fellow by the name of Greg Molinar years ago who worked on the face on Mars. And through his special imaging, he was able to conclude that not only was the face on Mars authentic, carved out by someone or somebody, that it had eye sockets in it, nostrils for the nose, and everything else. In terms of the, you know, lighting and things like that, nobody believes NASA. You know, when the pictures were released, when they took pictures of the, what they called it, the Mesa there, nobody believed them. They think that they were doctored, hoaxed. Richard C. Hoagland doesn't believe it. It's very difficult to get people to be convinced on things when they believe that there's something else afoot. Let's go to Wyman, Wyoming. Marlon's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Marlon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Hey, I just wanted to make a suggestion. You know, I hear us talking about the $14 trillion that the American taxpayer is on the hook for, and that's a terrible thing. But on the other side of that $14 trillion are investors, very smart people all around the world, some of them pension programs here in the United States, who saw the United States as a good place to put that money. And for them, the $14 trillion is a great thing. And I wondered if there was a way to, you know, take lemons and make lemonade and find a way to switch the benefit to the actual taxpayer in the form of a new form of monetary instrument. You know, instead of having bonds, which is a debt instrument, that you borrow money and the government borrows money and we pay interest on, why not issue a option for the United States taxpayer to pay less taxes in the future? If I give you $1,000 this year, in 5 years, you give me the right to pay you $1,500 less money. And in that way, I don't have to think about getting less services for the tax that I'm paying for. I'm investing in America. I'm making money because my return is 10% per year. And we could have a soft landing at some point. They could plan 5 years in advance for the loss of revenue.
You know, a friend of mine who visited Iran, he's Iranian. He lives in Beverly Hills. And he says that they have bank accounts in Iran where they are given 25% interest. You know, I asked him 100 times. I said, are you sure? And he said, yep, they get 25% annual interest on their savings accounts in Iran. So if you put in $1,000, you get back $1,250 at the end of the year, after a year. And that seems remarkable to me. I would love to get 25% return on anything I invest in these days, wouldn't you? Let's go to Woody in Roanoke, Virginia. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Woody, thanks for calling.
How you doing, George? Thank you, sir. George, I've got two problems. One problem with this country of ours. I served in the United States Navy for 15 years. The problem I have now, when I used to go to the VA, they never charged me for anything, seeing my doctors or medications or whatever. The first of the year, I started getting the bill from the VA for seeing my pulmonary doctor and several other doctors I have to see. George, what has happened to this country?
Well, you know what's happening to it, Woody. It's lost its backbone, and it's sinking farther and farther and farther. You know, look, I love this country. You do, too. Spent 9 years in the Navy. My father was in World War II. There is no better nation in the world than the United States. But it has been surrounded by people who are greedy, manipulative, And they've taken advantage of every American taxpayer, every hardworking person over the years, and finally caught up with us. It finally caught up, and it got us. And unless we start getting dedicated people back in office who truly care about us as people and quit these bickering, I mean, these debates are abominable. They're just embarrassing. These people are going back and forth trying to one-up each other instead of just being very honest and truthful and coming out with issues that affect Americans. Talk about Afghanistan and Iraq and find out when we're going to get out of there. Be truthful about the oil and the energy there. Do something about the Internal Revenue Service so Americans can start spending more of the money they make when they work. And let's get this country rolling again, for crying out loud, and bring back most of our troops that are overseas in bases all over the place. Let's go to Tim in Springdale, Arkansas. Your turn on open lines. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay, great. What's going on with you?
Well, I just thought I'd tell you a little story. My mom, she's a Creole Cajun, and when we was kids, she'd always move us in the scariest places. I don't know what was for sympathy or just to keep us in line, but it worked, that's for sure. And I know that over in Stillwater, Oklahoma, she rented this house right in the middle of a cemetery, of all places. And she was into all that witchcraft and all that other weird stuff. But I stayed away from the house as much as I could when I was a teenager. But I came in one night. Nobody was there. It was just me laying on the couch, and I'm watching TV, and I fell asleep. And my little brother had come in with an Indian friend of his. Well, they hadn't actually come in the house. They was looking through the window to see if anybody was in the house because they didn't want to have a confrontation with my mom either. So while they were looking in the house through the window to see if anyone was there, they noticed that the couch was going up on one end all by itself. And I thought that somebody was picking it up as a joke. And when I woke up out of my stupor and looked at the end of the couch, nobody was there, and it went down real slow. Man, you talk about goosebumps. I got them, and I hit that screen door and ran over my brother and his buddy, and we all three took off running just as fast as we could. And I tell you, I don't know. I've never experienced anything like that except that one time, and I'm glad my brother and his buddy witnessed it. And we talked about that for years and years and years, but there's something to the spirit world and the supernatural. I was hoping that old boy that you're supposed to have on was gonna talk about some shake shifting and stuff like that, because it's a real deal, the spirit world, and if you don't understand it can be kind of confusing. But yeah, that's just one of the things I've witnessed in my life. And I drive a truck, and I've been out here 33 years, and I'll tell you what, the places I've been, I've seen some stuff that I can't account for. I don't know what's going on, but everything from UFOs to I guess you call them ghosts on the side of the road.
I am sure that you folks driving trucks, Tim, have seen some of the most bizarre, strangest things out there on the roads. You know, every once in a while, we'll open up the lines just to truck drivers only, and you can't believe some of the stories that they've got. Let's go to Los Angeles. Jerry's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jerry, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hey, George, you know, when you talk about abiotic oil, and I believe it's, you know, oil is comes from natural, from the earth. But the problem is, where are you going to get it? I mean, you know, the traditional places for drilling, they're not refilling. So, you know, even if abiotic oil is the case, what difference does it make if we can't get to it?
Well, we can't get to it if they want to drill for it. I mean, that's the thing. They don't think they can make enough money to go plowing along down there to do that. I mean, even though I think we have an abundance of oil here, Jerry, I think we need to get off that as a major fuel source for cars. Look, we're always going to need oil. As you'll find out when we talk Wednesday to Heinberg, you're going to need oil for plastics. And I mean, they're in everything. Oil is in everything. But, you know, we really should just do away with it for cars and get to some other source of energy. Now, let's go to Robert, Fargo, North Dakota, west of the Rockies. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. This is great. George, this is a perfect follow-up to the last two callers. not only am I a truck driver, but I'm hauling coal.
So you've got it all. You're the complete show tonight.
Yeah, and as well as I'd like to just briefly talk about something spiritual the other caller was talking about too, so it's a perfect follow-up. You know, George, I tell you, I'm not going to apologize for being one of those quote-unquote Christians, but I am, and I tell you, if you look at the world situation as a whole, with all the increasing disasters and earthquakes especially, and the unrest in the Middle East with Israel surrounded on all sides with unrest and all that's going on there, and the global economic crisis, if folks would just open their Bibles to the book of Matthew, particularly chapter 24, it really does paint a, it's like watching a play. It's like watching a movie unfold. And I really think that we are headed as a whole, not just as this nation, but as the world. I really think that if we are heading to very nefarious times. And I really think folks need to make their peace and just try to take a second look at their life and their lifestyles. And I think there's going to be some eyes that are really going to be opened here in the future. And it's going to be scary for some folks, and for other folks it won't be. But I know I'm not the only one that sees this. If you look at all the things that are happening in the world right now and compare them to prophecies in Scripture, it just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
It sure does. Now, what do you think of the book of Revelation, Robert?
Well, I think quite a bit about it. The Antichrist is going to be a very charismatic, well-speaking type person. He's going to all of a sudden come up in the world and have the answers to all the problems, and a lot of people are going to be misled. And, we can see this all transpiring and leading up to that right now with the increasing starvation around the world. All the unrest, brother against brother, families against families. You just turn the news on and you hear it all transpiring. I mean, the earthquakes, the tsunamis that happened a few years ago, the big earthquake in Japan. And I really think that these things are mounting and unfolding. And, Revelations doesn't it's Revelation, by the way, but Revelation
right.
doesn't say that it's all going to happen within a year's time. I mean, it's all ramping up. And it's just, I don't know, from what I see in the world and everything transpiring, it really is following Scripture to the letter, especially with the Middle East situation. That's the key right there.
Oh, yeah, it's like a playbook, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly like a playbook. If you really open your eyes and your heart and you start in Matthew and you just read that, and then go to John and some other books in the Bible there. It's just like a playbook. Israel being surrounded on all sides by her enemies and the uprising and talk of, the Muslim Brotherhood particularly, maybe having a play in some of this, maybe not. But the point is that the unrest and all the unrest that's happening, and you watch Israel and what happens to them, and that'll give you the marker of where we are at in Scripture.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Hey, thanks for that phone call, and we will be back with more open line calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget Skype. It's George97313 from wherever you are. I remember when that tsunami hit Japan. We had so many Skype callers from Tokyo that night. Technology, unbelievable. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. More with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. That's right. You better stay. We've got a great program for you. Hey, we're going to try to reconnect with Michael Bastien, the Algonquin healer, next hour, and we'll do a couple hours with him, assuming those phone lines work. So stand by for that. When I come back in just a moment, we'll have open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, George Norrie back with you, and let's go back to the open line calls. And again, we're going to try to reconnect with Michael Bastien next hour as we talk about his latest work, Iroquois Supernatural. I'm looking forward to that. Let's say a little prayer. Maybe those phone lines will work. Let's go to first-time caller Andrew in California, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show. Hi, Andy.
Hi there, George. It's a great pleasure to speak with you. Let you know what a fan I was of what you do, and I've been listening to you for years, and really appreciate it. I just had a request.
Thank you. Sure.
I'd like to hear more Bigfoot shows. I'd like to hear a Bigfoot show. It seems like it's been a while.
It sounds like it might be time for another Bigfoot show. What I'd like to do is have the producers, Andrew, put together really some of these top-notch investigators who've been going out there, and then I love it when we open up the phone lines and we let the witnesses call in, people who have seen Bigfoot. Absolutely.
And if you can reconnect with Mr. Bastien tonight, maybe that's something you could ask him about.
Yes, that's a good question. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that one. Next up, we'll go to Chuck driving in Indiana. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Chuck, good morning.
Morning, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
This year will be the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and it's always kind of fascinated me a little bit about how a large force could kind of sneak through the Pacific Ocean and no one knew about it. And I just kind of wondered if you had any thoughts, and maybe Roosevelt kind of allowed it to occur to get us into war with Europe.
There are some who actually believe that, Chuck, that knew that this was coming and decided to just turn their heads and let it happen. I find that abominable. I hope to God it never was the case. We lost a lot of great American lives that day. But there are some people out there with some very compelling stories about that very fact. Okay. All right.
Thanks very much.
You are very welcome. Let's go out to Thomas in Leipzig, Germany, way out there.
Leipzig. Good morning.
Hello, Thomas. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I'd just like to ask whether you could do a little bit more on anomalies in radio reception, because I can recall from about 20 years ago in England, and my wife and I would go driving from southeast England to the Welsh Valleys or the Scottish Highlands, and the local London stations and so on, we'd lose before reaching Birmingham. But once way beyond that, they'd sometimes mysteriously come back. And right deep in the Welsh Valleys or 600 or 700 miles north on the Scottish coast. And I saw this happen two or three times, then almost forgot about it till I heard a report about 5 years ago about China and its attempts to detect stealth aircraft. And what it said was that whereas these planes absorb radar signals, the Chinese were considering measuring tiny differences, tiny reductions in the local terrestrial television and radio signals so as to detect the presence of such planes. And I wondered whether any system like that could be used, perhaps to detect things like UFOs.
Very interesting. It's well worth checking into. There's a lot of things going on now, Thomas. Of course, you've heard of HARP, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Well, who knows what they're doing with that as well. We'll check into that. Thank you. Nadine is in Houston, Texas. You're up. Hi, Nadine.
Oh, hi. This is really a great program. Just a couple of quick points. I think everyone is forgetting that the Federal Reserve is a private corporation.
That's right.
There is nothing that is going to happen to create any kind of parity or any fairness whatsoever. Much less are they going to allow individual states or communities to have their own currencies. Also, if I'm not mistaken, they passed a law saying people can't even grow their own food anymore. And this was something that just came up within the last couple of months, from my understanding.
Maybe it's they can't grow their own food to sell. I'm not sure.
Or to share.
So you can't walk it down to your neighbors and give them a little bag of tomatoes.
The benevolence factor has been totally taken out of the equation. So, ladies and gentlemen, please do something about this issue with Congress. They know that this is a private corporation. It was set up in Delaware. You can check.
You there? Well, she's gone. Somebody didn't like what you just said, Nadine.
Wow.
Let's go to Ryan in Cincinnati, Ohio. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Ryan, welcome.
Good morning, Gary. You rock and roll, brother. I just want to say thank you for taking my call.
All right.
What I want to say is this country was divinely inspired in our founding documents by the great architect of the universe. And they made specific rules and such that in the founding document of the Constitution, the 16th Amendment was never properly ratified by the states. And Ron Paul has sworn to abolish the 16th Amendment and put out the Federal Reserve and abolish the Internal Revenue Service. And you can just hear the jobs being created, except the military-industrial complex, who controls the media, calls him a quack and wants to put up Mitt Romney and Rick Perry.
Yet he wins. He wins every poll. Every poll after a debate, there he is. Everybody likes the guy.
They don't even put him on the polls anymore, sir. And here's the last thing I want to say, sir. Article 1, Section 9 prohibits a president of the United States from taking a title of nobility, holding another office from a sovereign state, from a king or a prince. Now, and that's defined as treason. Now, the Nobel Peace Prize is given by the country of Norway, which is a sovereign state. And he also became a Muslim Knight of Saudi Arabia from the King of Saudi Arabia, defining treason. I'm refusing to pay my taxes.
Be careful there, Ryan. If you don't pay your taxes, you know what? The Browns, that family, remember the male, female, the Browns dentist? He didn't pay taxes. She didn't pay taxes. And they took them away. And they were holed up in their housing complex for some time. And they're still in prison now. My gosh, it's been 3-4 years now already. Be careful there. I guess you can protest in a number of ways. Let's go to California. Jim's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jim.
George, first of all, your bumper music is absolutely fantastic.
Well, thanks. We're on a roll tonight.
Hey, the tax thing. I don't get the whole thing where half of the people in this country don't pay any. I know how it works. It's completely wrong.
Sure.
I can use myself as an example. I started a business with $500,000, which I begged, borrowed, stole, credit cards, this and that, for 90 hours a week for 2.5 years to break even. Now, frankly, I'm very successful. I'm in the 50% tax bracket between Fed and state. And it's an astronomical amount of money going out. It just seems to me that these liberal people, especially the actors and such, that are making $20 million a year, let's say by the time their CPA cooks their books, they're going to pay $5 million in taxes. Now they get $15 million. And they're saying they have to raise taxes. If they have a valid argument, take $13 million of that. Write to the federal government, say, here you go, guys, live on $2 million. And now you have a valid argument with me anyway. I don't get where these people are coming from.
We need to modify the entire tax code and go to a use tax of some sort.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Or a flat tax.
Or a flat tax. I could live with that, too.
Flat tax, 5, 10, 15%.
I like the folks who are working on the fair tax program. But we've got to do something. And the fact that they're not doing anything is ridiculous.
Well, and then you've got obviously our illustrious president. He seems to think anybody who makes over $100,000 a year is rich.
Yeah, well, that's not a lot of money anymore, considering it is in certain areas. But I mean, for example, you live in California. Mm-hmm. You know, money goes fast out there, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. As I say, I've done very well, but I do live very conservative. Most of my money, frankly, is in gold right now.
Well, you got a good investment there, Jimmy, and it's probably going to go up even higher.
I think so, but as far as stocks and everything, I own some Ford stock, did very well with that, but stocks are spooky right now, and gold, of course, is a hard commodity. I'm not looking so much at making money, just parking my money somewhere where I'm not going to lose it.
My dad worked for Ford Motor Company all his life and plowed everything he had into Ford stock. And at one point, he must have had 30,000 shares. And it was rolling at one point, 40,
oh,
50
Lord.
Bucks a share.
It
plummeted, and he never got rid of it.
Oh, no.
I know it. And that was, he's 88 now. That was supposed to be his retirement. And, it's not the same anymore. It's not the same.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Things have changed. Okay, Jim, thanks for your comments.
You take care.
Okay. Well, yeah. And we do need a fair tax. Let's go to Smithville, Texas. George is there. Hey, George, what's going on? Fire still there?
Oh, no, they're kind of dying out now. They're still working on them. But the point that I wanted to make, 15 years ago, they started with the chemtrails over Texas. And I work outside, so I was very aware. I mean, first, I just look up at the sky and go, what's that? And then I noticed that it would go from a contrail to a cloud. And then within a day or two, we would have a lot of wind, and then we would have rain. This is the honest-to-God truth. In June, they stopped the chemtrails. We haven't had rain since then.
Uh-huh.
They have absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, they did something that Texas is in this drought, and that's all there is to it. They moved the jet stream. They've absolutely changed it. During Hurricane Katrina, when Katrina was coming towards Houston, they were spraying up there every single day. And I'm telling you, they moved that thing away from Texas. Then when Hurricane Ike came, they didn't spray, and the darn thing came into Houston and creamed Houston. Anybody doesn't think that there's some powers out there that's controlling the weather, they got rocks in their head.
I don't know if they're controlling it
constantly, but they got a pretty damn good grip on it. Look at us. It hasn't rained here since June. I mean, since June, and I personally believe that they want to dry this place up completely so that they can control the food.
Interesting.
Because the farmers aren't planting.
Oh, no, they can't plant. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is getting deluged. I mean, we've been getting
exactly
rain.
Right.
And, yeah,
exactly right.
All right, George, keep in touch. Hope everything's okay. Dewey in Osceola, Iowa. Hey, Dewey, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to get a hold of you ever since they came out about the announcement with the diamond planet. To me, I think that should be setting the science world on its ear, because that does one of two things. It either proves the abiotic oil theory that oil and coal doesn't come from fossil fuels, or it proves that that planet was teeming with life several million years ago.
One or the other. You're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of carbon on that planet. As a matter of fact, our Tuesday program, we're talking about Planet X. We haven't done that in a long time. So make sure you're part of that. You should be a part of Coast to Coast almost every night, by the way. And if you can't listen for whatever reason, any particular night, be a Coast Insider for less than 25 cents a day. Get the program. It's my mission over the next 8 years to make sure that every man and woman and child at night listens to this program in some form or capacity, whether it's live on the radio or podcasting in the morning if you have to get to bed. Vincent in Los Angeles. Hey, Vincent, go for it.
Hey, how you doing, George?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I just had a caller a while back. He was talking about, you know, revelations and prophecies and stuff like that with regards to what's going on in the Middle East and such on and so forth like that. But I was wondering, is it possible that the big dogs, the Bilderbergs, or whoever it may be, the left radicals or rights, can make that prophecy come true with the powers that they have at hand, you know?
I have long suspected, Vincent, that the powers that be would look at prophecy, whether it's the Book of Revelation, Hopi prophecy, whatever, and gear their thoughts and gear their techniques to those prophecies, and then they would say they're coming true, but they would do it. It would be like a playbook,
right? And it's so easy for people to be comforted. By all means, I believe in a higher power, and you know, but I just feel there's too many crazies out there that, I mean, if they have the power to do so, and I mean to instill fear in us, I mean that would be a perfect way to do so, and control things. That's just my opinion. I just wanted to hear what other callers and you had to think about that.
Well, yeah, I think you're right on there. I do think they manipulate, and they always have, and they always will. David is in Toronto, Ontario. Hey, David, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot, George. What's going on?
All is well. I'm going to be up in your neck of the woods, I think, at an event next year. Tom's
where?
Working on that. I don't know exactly where, but it's going to be in Toronto someplace.
Okay, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
Very good. I called to tell you about my Stirling engine, but first, you've had enough time, and I'm not in front of a computer. Have you found anything more about this supposed law in the States that says that you can't give food to your neighbor?
I haven't. I'm going to look for that. I have not seen that. Have you heard anything about it?
I'm not in front of a computer, and one of your previous callers had mentioned it. Anyways, I've built myself a Stirling engine.
You did?
Yes, I did. It runs.
How's it working? Okay. How much did it cost you?
About $2,500 or so.
And how big is it?
Maybe the size of a 26-inch TV.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It runs really good. I can run everything on it. I've got a generator now that runs all of my household power here in the farm.
Isn't there one of the web servers, aren't they using that kind of an engine to keep things, to keep power going? I don't know who it is. Well, your power just went out, David. Let's go to Ray in Gainesville, Florida. Welcome to the program. Hey, Ray, go ahead.
Hey, George, I hope you give me the time to explain this, but that guy was, I only caught the tail end of your guest was on earlier that said we were running out of oil, and that's
yes.
A lot of horse stuff.
Yeah, don't forget, turn your radio down, by the way, though, Ray.
I don't have it on at all.
Oh, well, I'm hearing feedback. I'm hearing massive feedback. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to call back a little bit later on. We'll have open lines again on Friday, by the way. Let's go to Aaron in Lakewood, New Jersey. Welcome to the show. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking the call. Okay, quick first question, and then I want to describe something. How bright can a UFO, a satellite be at night?
Bright enough for you to see a speck that looks like a moving star.
Okay, now I was in this past summer in northern Canada, I guess not really that northern, about probably like 300 miles north of like Toronto. And I saw this actually twice the same week. It was, whatever it was about as bright as Jupiter is, you know, when you look at it when it's bright. And it kind of moved through the sky, no sound, nothing. And it looked pretty low, actually. It wasn't as high as I would have imagined the satellite to be. And I saw the same thing twice, same week, but about 200 miles apart. You know, one night, let's say on a Monday, and then a different location on a Thursday. But it was really exactly the same thing. It made absolutely no sound. It looked like it was pretty low, and it kind of went like in an arc. It went like from lower, kind of like following.
Some satellites, Aaron, will do that. And keep in mind, with so many satellites out there in space these days, I mean, it's a high probability that's exactly what you were looking at. We're going to try to connect again with Michael Bastien when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Iroquois Supernatural is his work. We'll be right back.